This is Music Heads from The Current at Minnesota Public Radio, online at minnesotapublicradio.org. Yo, here we are again, the weekly show where we have a little chat about some of the new music that's grabbed our attention. Welcome again to Music Heads, presented by 89.3 The Current from Minnesota Public Radio. Music Heads is supported by McNally Smith College of Music, an accredited college of popular music offering degrees in recording technology, music business, and performance. It's time to do what you love. McNallySmith.edu. Music Heads is also supported by Fitger's Brewhouse Brewery and Grill, brewing beer for in-house and to-go, plus hot food and live music, Superior Street in Duluth, and at brewhouse.net. I'm Bill DeVille, joined by our usual suspect, the 7 to 11 man, Mark Wheat.
That's right. That's a whole new world, Bill. Good to be back.
Nice to have you here, Mark, and our music director, Melanie Walker, here as well. Hi, Melanie.
Hey, Bill. How's it going?
Going good. And yourself?
I'm good.
All right. Who wants to go first? Mark, Melanie, decide amongst yourselves.
Well, this week we're doing something a little bit different because being January, it's a little slow on new releases. So we thought we'd... I guess I was upset about not being able to feature this band that I'm going to feature now, although their CD has been out for a long time, almost a year now. They're called Earl Greyhound, and the album is Soft Targets. And the way I discovered them was, as all of us music heads love to do, is reading our favorite reviewers, trolling around the publications and the websites, looking for new discoveries. And someone sent me an email with an article that was in The New Yorker, of all places, which just goes to show you can find new bands anywhere these days.
I didn't realize they were that styling.
I know. Sasha Freer Jones, who I believe has been through The Village Voice. Mm-hmm. He's been a name that I've been reading, it seems now, for years. And he wrote this review up of Earl Greyhound when he saw them in Brooklyn. They're another band from Brooklyn. And he started off the article saying that someone next to him says, "Why aren't these guys signed to a major label yet?" And he said, "That's because they're still on stage." I mean, he immediately felt, from seeing them the first time he ever saw them, he believed that this was a band that was going to be signed, not only signed, but signed by a major label, that they had that kind of quality. And as far as I can tell, they've only been playing in this setup as a three-piece for the last year or so. So that in and of itself is an amazing feat. And then he started making reference to some of my favorite bands, Led Zeppelin being the first one, and I think T-Rex being the other reference point that he mentioned, and it's mentioned even on their MySpace page. And they are, quite honestly, two of my favorite bands of all time. So then you have this feeling of, oh my goodness, I almost didn't want to listen to them, because anyone who has that kind of reference in their bio, you're just like, oh, please don't mess this up. And to be honest, I've never heard a band that approximates the sound, the passion, and just the inexplicable soul thing that Led Zeppelin had for me. No other band has even come close to what these guys have done. Earl Greyhound have this massive sound. They're not afraid to be epic. The combination of the guy, Matt White, who's the main singer-songwriter, and the bass player, who is Kamara, the combination of their voices have both the ranges of Robert Plant. So Kamara's got this high, shrill shriek that she can do that Plant nailed. And the rest of the vocals and more guttural, bluesy stuff is Matt's forte. He's an amazing guitar player. I'm a huge fan. One of my favorite musical discoveries of 2006, Earl Greyhound, Soft Targets.
We've been talking about the new release from Earl Greyhound titled Soft Targets. Melanie, working for you?
I absolutely agree with Mark. I love this band. It was kind of funny when he first, you know, asked about him. Mark will email me every once in a while and be like, "Hey, can you look and see if you can find this record for us?" And I'll go, and I thought it was tea at first because he drinks all these funny teas. So I thought it was like one of Mark's. I'm like, you want me to get you tea? And then I'm like, oh, it's Earl Greyhound. Okay, bad joke. But
I liked it.
I do too. I meant to say that in my intro, that the name itself, it's got that, like Led Zeppelin, which is almost one of those perfect names because it's kind of an oxymoron, but Earl Greyhound has... What I get from them is they're American, and they've got a lot of American references, but they've got a kind of British thing going too. And if you think the Earl Grey refers to Earl Grey tea, and Greyhound is such an American thing, that putting them together like that, I think is simply genius.
And I just thought of dog-flavored tea, though.
Which well. Is kind of what Mark drinks all He drinks his stinky tea, and so I thought he was making a reference. But the thing that I agree with Mark about is, like, you know, there have been a lot of people referenced to sounding like Zeppelin, sounding like T-Rex, sounding like Queen, Bowie references, and I'm sorry, a lot of these people, it's like, yeah, they might sound like that 70s psychedelic era, but it's really more of somebody kind of like copycatting, you know, what others did. It's not really that original, but Earl Greyhound definitely is, and I feel like they have something there. They're going to be coming in soon, so I'm really anticipating how they're going to sound live in our studios, but I hope that lots of good things happen for this band.
Yeah, they're going to be playing the 7th Street Entry, I think the first time they've come through the Twin Cities on Sunday. 21st of January, and to be honest, I haven't been so excited about seeing a band live for a long, long time, and I think it's going to be hot and sweaty and packed in the entry, and I'm really looking forward to it. Love is a stranger in disguise for a while, but
now it's over, let go. Well, can I burst a couple of bubbles here?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
First off, I found these guys to be kind of all bark, no bite, pardon the pun. But I don't think they have the songs. You know, that's the one thing I think they lack. They got a great sound, I'm not going to deny that. You know, they got the big, nasty metal guitar licks, and but a billion bands have that. And they have the great bombastic John Bonham-like drummer. I love that, but I'm not 16 anymore. I don't know if this is working for me.
I always like some good rock and roll music, though. And I feel like, you know, and that's something that I'm rediscovering, I feel like, in the last year or two. I don't feel like there's been a lot of great, just like, rock and roll music. I mean, everybody's been woo about Wolf Mother for, like, you know.
Yeah, but they got some songs.
Year.
Their songs, to me, are really catchy. I'm not hearing it with this band.
They are very catchy, but would you necessarily call them original?
No, I know, what is original, though, anymore?
Exactly.
I respectfully disagree. That would have burst the bubble for me as well. And there's some of the songs which I think they have a kind of simplicity but a depth to the writing that's promising. I mean, again, this is the first album. One of my favorites is a track called Fashion, which the guy Matt White sings most of it, but sings about wearing presumably his girlfriend's clothes. And I think one of the things that Led Zeppelin are always attributed to them is their kind of androgynous appeal and their...
And T-Rex, too, for that matter.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So crossing over the genders. And I'm just totally won over by the cross of genders here, you know. They look great. That's another thing. Matt's got the really, like, almost down to his waist long hair. Kamara's got a huge afro, and Rick now is on the drums, and in the publicity shots he's wearing a cravat. He's a big black guy and wears a suit with a really colorful cravat, and maybe, you know, that wins me over, that it's almost like the complete package. It's like they totally fulfill in the rock and roll fantasy for me.
Melanie, your pick.
I picked a new group, actually, called The Bird and the Bee. They have an album, a self-titled album, out right now, and it's comprised of vocalist Inara George. And if you're not familiar with vocalist Inara George, her dad was Lowell George from Little Feat, and it's also got multi-instrumentalist Greg Kirsten, who's worked with folks such as Beck and The Flaming Lips, Peaches, and also Lily Allen as well, new artist Lily Allen. But so these two met, Inara and Greg. They met back in 2005 from a mutual friend, and they noticed that they shared a common love for jazz and jazz standards and an unusual one, 60s tropicalia, which not a lot of people probably know much about. So these two did, and they joined forces, and over time, after many afternoons in Greg's home studio, they formulated kind of like a little world of their own, this little sunshine fantasy world of the bird and the bee. And the way it's described on their MySpace page is futuristic 1960s American film set in Brazil, is the way it's described. And I don't necessarily hear any of the Brazilian influences, but I definitely hear a lot of the semi-psychedelic pop kind of sensibilities. And it's just sunny, it's fun, and I really like it a lot. I always thought, too, Inara George kind of sounds like Suzanne Vega, and she really does in this group, The Bird and the Bee. And actually, the funny thing is I noticed that The Bird and the Bee are going to be touring with Suzanne Vega, so that's going to be kind of interesting. But they've also toured with Sia. I mean, they're both established artists on their own, but I think this is just kind of a fun side project that's kind of becoming more than what they initially thought it was going to be.
Mark Weed, is it working for you?
I have to say, after playing this album, we got an EP couple of months ago now, so we have been playing it a while, and again, Melanie came to me with this, and she, have you heard this? This is really great. It worked immediately for her, and it didn't for me, but it's been one of those albums that has grown on me as we've played it on the radio, and I sit down and finally listened at the end of the year to the full album, was actually completely captivated, because to me, there's 7 or 8 songs on there that could be huge singles. She has a way of writing that... She even gets away with calling a song La La La, and I've been totally against anyone going La 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 in a song, let alone making that the title, and she pulls that off for me as well. And there's another one where she repeats the word because many, many times, and it almost becomes like a mantra, and she's got this way of using words and using her voice as another instrument. And I think for Melanie mentioned Sia from... fans of people like Imogen Heap, who's blown up big this year as well. I think if they discovered The Bird and the Bee, they'd be really pleased. It's got that kind of summery feel. The tropicalia to it kind of makes reference to the way that Greg layers in different references musically. That all kinds of different instruments will come in just for like 15 seconds, 30 seconds, and then go away again. It's masterfully produced and just totally wins me over. And again, I think it would work as a great summer album. It almost has that kind of sizzling, hot, hazy feel to it. But also as a winter album, it kind of internally warms you if you sit back and let it just melt you. There's no reason you should leave. There's no reason you should go.
It almost has that sort of space-age bachelor pad sort of
exactly.
sound, doesn't it?
Space-age bachelor pad.
You know what, too? It has that kind of Scandinavian. A lot of the
sure.
the pop music that's come out of Scandinavia, for some reason, it reminded me of that, too. It has that childlike innocence that works really well.
Yeah.
And we should say, before we forget, that Inara had a solo album called All Rise that we played last year.
More folk-oriented.
Yeah. But I think if people like this, they should go there, because, again, what I think I should say is I think she's got a great way of writing songs. She's a great songwriter mm-hmm. at her age.
Lyrically, she is a little weak, but I think that's the whole point. I mean,
yes.
again and again and again and again, do it again, you know?
But the thing that I like about it, too, though, is no, the lyrics aren't necessarily, yeah. you know, very deep or anything, but she's very cheeky, you know? I mm-hmm. mean, it's kind of like, it's very different from the sound of the music. The music sounds really innocent and sweet and sunshine and rainbows and all that stuff, but then she's, like, really cheeky and kind of crude at times with her lyrics and very cynical, very bittersweet. It's kind of a nice combination, a little salt in your sugar.
All right, my pick is the Liverpudlian band Clinic. They're back with their fourth album. Most bands nowadays don't make it to their fourth. Band with a unique sound that nobody else sounds quite like them. They have a spooky sort of macabre style. They sound like a group of mad scientists with maybe Lon Chaney or Bela Lugosi as their vocalist, maybe influenced by the Velvet Underground and even The Fall. And they could totally rock a Halloween party. They're already in costume and they're still sporting the surgical masks. Guess they'll be ready for the bird flu when it hits. Maybe the next CD Clinic will make the unmasked release, but all jokes aside, Clinic's new album is called Visitation, and it totally rocks. All right, we just listened to music from Clinic. The new album is Visitation. Mark, working for you?
Yes, it does. I came of Clinic fan when they put out an Internal Wrangler in the year 2000, and there's a couple of tracks on that that...
Evil Bill.
Evil Bill. Goes through my head maybe once every 2 weeks for no particular reason, you know, out of nowhere. And I think they have that signature sound, and I gotta say, they don't stray far from it on this album.
No.
They've kind of found what works for them best. I think his vocals, they used to vary in the albums. This time it's almost like the sound of his voice is the same on every track. It sounds like he's wearing his mask when he does the vocals because you can't understand it half the time, but it's obviously through some kind of effect that, you know, has that, as you put it, Halloween effect, and it's kind of gruff and... And they have this signature...
Melodica?
Instrument. The melodica.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Gang of Four is where I first came... I'm sure you probably came aware of it the same way.
Exactly.
Yep.
I just think they've crystallized their sound to the point that if you are a fan of it, like if you like Evil Bill and that riff stays with you like it does for me, then you'll listen to this album and you'll be pleased. Although, towards the end, I started to get irritated because the thing with Clinic is all of their songs are pretty short.
Yep.
They remind me, they're kind of like a cross between the Residents and the Ramones because they've got the whole mask thing on and all the artwork, you don't know who they are and they're kind of acting weird in a Residents way. But in a Ramones way, they got like one idea per song.
Right.
And they'll never extend it. There's a couple of songs on here that create this amazing atmosphere. And I found myself, after 2 or 3 minutes, wanting it to go on for 6, 7, or 8 minutes where they can explore that soundscape. They never do that. They get a really neat riff and they'll make the song 1 minute 20 seconds. And
yeah, maybe
be
they need
over.
A sort of Bela Lugosi's Dead sort of number. Huh?
Right, exactly.
Well, they've certainly pigeonholed themselves. Where did they go from here? I imagine they just press on, huh?
Yeah.
Masks and all.
Yeah.
All right. Melanie.
Well, I've always been curious to see what they sound like live because, like Mark, I was a big fan of the album they put back in 2000. And that second release that came out in 2002, what was it? Was it Walking with Thee? Is that the name of the album?
Yeah.
That album, I mean, it's that album reminds me of this album. They're both like, you know, they're good, but they're not like great. It wasn't like that album they put out back in 2000. And I've always been curious to see them live because I feel like you guys said, you know, it's like they kind of start to build and then all of a sudden it drops you right when you get hooked in. I'm wondering if they play those songs longer live. Maybe if they purposely left them short for radio airplay, like some labels ask bands to do, so I'm wondering about that. But I've always been a fan of them, but I have been waiting for them to kind of like, you know, come back with a little bit more of something different, you know, I guess. And I mean, they have signed to Domino Records, which is one of my favorite labels. I mean, they put out the Arctic Monkeys last year,
label.
And it just seems like everything Domino's been putting out has just been, you know, gold here at The Current, and everybody's been a huge fan of it. So this is the first release that label's put out in the last year or so that I've been, you know, not necessarily completely satisfied by.
Mark, Mark and Melanie, thanks for joining me for Music Heads.
Thanks for having me.
It was great, thanks.
We listened to music from Earl Greyhound. The new album is Soft Targets, The Bird and the Bee, and Clinic's Visitation. I'm Bill DeVeld. We'll reconvene in a week for another installment of Music Heads, presented by 89.3 The Current from Minnesota Public Radio.